Welcome to the Sweet Spot. I'm your host, Corey Bradley. This is NFL Draft Week. It is finally here. It's so much talk, so much hype, so many articles that have been written, episodes being produced, as this one is, as we know. Also, Chris, man, it's finally here. We're in that final days of seeing which players go where. How do our teams fare? You know, I was very pleased with our draft last year. I was thrilled. I was ecstatic, actually, with the way our Pittsburgh Steelers selected last year's rookies. How did you feel about last year's before we talk about this year's?
No, I mean, getting Anthony Richardson was the – I mean, I was on record on the show before the draft that he was my favorite quarterback in the entire draft. Obviously, it's way too early to tell. Only played two games. But, I mean, that alone made it, you know, a win. Everything else was just cherries on top at that point. So yeah. I was pretty happy, man.
Man, so this year, Chris and I did a mock draft ourselves where I selected for Pittsburgh, he selected for Indianapolis, and then the computer just made those other picks for the remaining teams in the NFL. Chris, man, tell me about the first mock draft that we did. Talk about your selections. We did too. But highlight your first one and talk about why those selections were made.
All right, yeah. So Colts pick a 15. That's their first pick. And at 15, I took Quinion Mitchell, a cornerback out of Toledo, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida, Jaden Hicks, a safety out of Washington State, Cam Hart, cornerback out of Notre Dame, Tyron Tracy Jr., running back out of Purdue, Tip Ryman, tight end out of Illinois, and Frank Crum, a tackle out of Wyoming. And for me, I told you before, I thought the board just fell my way pretty good. Quinion Mitchell, he's my favorite corner in the class. I've said before, you know, I kind of lean going offense and kind of really building around Richardson, but I am not going to be remotely upset if Quinion Mitchell's there. I think Mitchell is a stud. It's at a position that we really need. You said before, you know, talking about Tomlin, you take the best player that fills a position of need. That's Mitchell for us. Easy pick. Ricky Pearsall was probably my most contentious pick, I like him, but Jalen Polk was on the board, and I really like Jalen Polk as well. He's another receiver, more of a vertical threat than Pearsall is. Pearsall is a little bit more of a, you can move him around the formation separator kind of guy. The question on whether you like Pearsall or not is whether you think he can be slot only or whether you think he can kind of play, you know, play the X sometimes, move him around. I think the latter. I think he's versatile enough and has really elite hands. I like Pearsall. And of course, the Florida connection that probably swung me. That's probably what made me a little bit biased, you know, reunite him with AR. Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State. I think he's a beast. He's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, safety in the class, at least for us. A really good athlete. He's six. He's basically built like a linebacker. He's a cornerback who moved to safety, but he's built like a linebacker. And I just think he fits us a lot. We need defensive backs, you know, hence the Quinion Mitchell, and hence my fourth round pick, Cam Hart, cornerback out of Notre Dame. Again, he's another guy who I think really fits our zone kind of cover three system. He's a long, kind of a big corner, oversized. And, you know, I've said it on the last show, this is a small corner class. So some of those guys like him that are a little bit bigger are kind of diamonds in the rough in a sense. So again, just trying to bolster the defensive back room. Fifth round pick, Tyron Tracy Jr., running back out of Purdue, really good pass catcher. I think obviously JT is a stud and he is a full like bell cow back. Like running back is absolutely not a position of need.
Yeah.
But JT has had injury issues last 2 years now. And then also, I mean, as good as he is, like we do need to have somebody else that can spell him. And then the only really knock you can give on JT is he's not the best hands and he's not a great pass blocker. Well, Tyron Tracy checks those boxes off. So I think he'd be a good fit. Tip Ryman, he's obviously not Brock Bowers. Tip Ryman's a really, really, really good blocker. He kind of would fill that kind of Jack Doyle that we've been missing. We have a bunch of really good receiving tight ends or solid receiving tight ends, but nobody that's like that inline, just like extra lineman type tight end. And so he would be that guy. And then Frank Crum is just an extremely athletic tackle out of Wyoming. And, you know, Chris Ballard, our GM, he loves his athletes. And he'd be a developmental late day dart at a guy who's a really freak athlete. So that's my class. And I'm pretty happy with it, man. Honestly, I think if this is the way, you know, it landed come this week, whether or not I think this is realistic, you know, I don't know. But if it landed this way, I'd be pretty happy. What about you, though, man? You started at 20. How do you feel about the way your board fell?
Yeah, man. So, you know, we've been talking about the first round and what your team's going to do at 15, what my team's going to do at 20. I went Graham Barton, center from Duke. I went Peyton Wilson, linebacker, NC State at 51. DJ James, cornerback, Auburn, 84. Luke McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother, at number 98. Wide receiver from Rice. Braylon Allen, man. This was a guy that I was kind of shocked he was still there. It was one of those, like last year, we took Darnell Washington in the third round, and tight end wasn't a need, but it's like, man, this is literally best player available. Someone you didn't expect to be on the board at that pick, you got to take him. And this is what I did with Braylon Allen also. Braylon Allen, running back from Wisconsin. Wisconsin puts out backs, as we know. You know, Ron Dane, Corey Clement, Jonathan Taylor, you know. I mean, I could go on and on. James White, you know, Melvin Gordon. They've had running backs for days, and Braylon Allen is another guy who has – since day one that he stepped on campus in Wisconsin, he has been that dude. So Braylon Allen at 119, I had to take him when I saw he was available on board. Even like, and then you look at running back. Okay, you got Najee Harris. You have Jalen Warren. We signed Cordell Patterson. But Cordell Patterson can play with some, you know, he running back, he can do some receiver, but he's going to be primarily your returner, the new rules. So getting Braylon Allen gives you that fourth back where you feel you're very comfortable with the stable of running backs that you have in your program. So Braylon Allen at 119. Anaya Smith, receiver out of Texas A&M at 178. This is someone who's super explosive, who's also another option in the return game also, man. I mean, just a real dynamic athlete, which at the receiver position, we know we need receiver help. There's opportunities to be had, and I think getting McCaffrey and Smith to go with what we have currently at Quez Watkins, a speed guy, Van Jefferson, a solid solid pro, and then George Pickens. And then even Calvin Austin III, who hasn't been healthy, but he's one of those speed guys that can make plays in the passing game and the return game also. So I think getting Anaya Smith at 178 would just give us another player, an offensive option, who could turn into be something special. And then 195, I went quarterback, man. I went Talia Tagovailoa, Tua's brother, quarterback from Maryland. And it's like, why are you taking quarterback? Well, you throw darts at the dartboard, right? You got to like the lineage. As I talked about, Tomlin loves the lineage of NFL players and brothers and siblings and family members who have played. Well, I took McCaffrey from the McCaffrey household to Talia Tagovailoa from that household as well, because – and Omar Khan essentially said it. Like, him and Mike Tomlin both said it. We like our quarterback room. We also have three guys who are essentially on one-year deals. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and Kyle Allen. So what that does, bringing in Tagovailoa, it allows him to compete with Kyle Allen for that third spot, you know, because we know Russell's on, you know, we know Russell's position. He's in pole position, as Mike Tomlin said. We got Justin Fields we've acquired, and we're hoping he's going to be a valuable asset for years to come in a Pittsburgh uniform. And then Tagovailoa is someone else who can come compete and, like I said, maybe earn that third quarterback spot on the roster. So that was my first mock draft that we completed. And you know, when we look at it as a whole, what transpired, what stood out to you, man? What were some of the things in that very first mock draft that we completed that you would like to address and highlight?
Well, there's a couple interesting things. I will skip, you know, pick one. Caleb Williams, even the mock draft computer knows Caleb Williams going to be one. Better, so yeah. Even that knows, right? There's no confusion there. The first one that kind of stood out to me a little bit is Malik Nabers at 4 to the Cardinals. And this is with Marvin Harrison Jr. on the board, obviously. In this case, it went quarterback, and then Malik Nabers at 4. This is not because I think Nabers is bad. I think Nabers is an incredible receiver. Mm-hmm. But Nabers over Harrison Jr.
is
a question. And I've seen there's a lot of rankers because it's kind of agreed that, you know, a tier of receivers is Harrison Jr., Nabers, Odunze. And I mean, I guess it could happen. Do you think there's any chance that Harrison's not the first receiver?
I don't. I don't think anybody has the guts to do it. Even if they believe it, I don't think anybody has the guts to do it. I think it's Harrison Jr. I just don't think there's any way another receiver is taken before Harrison Jr. There's been so much talk about this guy. Even last year's draft, they were saying Harrison Jr. could be the number one pick next year. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Whenever he went out for Stroud's pro day, everybody was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
can't wait for this guy.
Yeah. And it's what? What do we talk about? That family lineage, right? Yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr., son of Marvin Harrison, Hall of Famer, Indianapolis Colt. There's no way anybody is taking Nabers over Harrison Jr. with that first. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, in this case, it did happen. We'll see. I kind of agree with you. I don't think it does happen. It works out for the Chargers in this case. You know, I think they go O-line, but shoot, if Marvin Harrison falls to you at five, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So in this case, they take Marvin Harrison. The next one that I thought was kind of interesting is Brock Bowers at nine to Chicago.
Yeah.
This is one I think could happen, man. I really do. I think the common mock to them is like a Romo Dunze, like pair up, you know, Caleb Williams with a stud receiver. I think it's kind of the same idea with Bowers. I know they have Cole Kmet. I know they went and signed Everett. But I think Bowers is that guy. And if you're just trying to kind of give, you know, Williams kind of another focal piece on offense, because I don't think that's what Bowers would be. Like, I think it makes sense. I don't know if it happens, because in this case, to be clear, Romo Dunze is on the board. Yeah. That was a common one. They had their pick at any of the corners that they wanted to go corner. Any defensive player, really, outside of Dallas Turner. So, a lot of ways they could go. What do you think about that pick?
Yeah, man, I love Brock Bowers. I mean, I love him. And I get it. I totally get, like, just get best player available, and he's that guy. I don't care about, oh, that's a tight end. You don't take a tight end this high. And da-da-da. Man, Brock Bowers is that dude. I just don't see Chicago doing it because they do have Cole Kmet, and they also signed Gerald Everett, who spent several years with the Rams and Chargers. I just don't think that's happening at number nine for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it happens yet. I think, like I said, I wouldn't be like totally stunned, but I would be surprised if in this case, like Odunze. I think the only way it happens if like if somebody trades up ahead of them, maybe to Atlanta and takes Odunze, and then maybe they're like, okay, I'm just going to take the best pass catcher left, which would be Bowers.
Yeah.
Maybe, but in this case, that's not even what happened. They just said, no, we like Bowers, and hey, power to him. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but McCarthy at 10 to the Jets, no way, right?
Nah, come on, computer, what are y'all thinking? Come on.
No way. I don't think that. I think we're both in agreement there.
Hey, what they did is like they saw news of, oh, Zach Wilson was traded to the Broncos. Okay, let's go get McCarthy. Yeah. Let's go get him, man. What if Rodgers gets Hurst again? Let's go ahead and get whatever. No, not happening. No.
That'd be hilarious if they basically would do the same thing to the Packers that the Rodgers to begin with. So
that's bold.
I don't think it happens.
Nah, it's not happening.
Odunze in this case falls to 11 to Carolina. I think that would be a steal.
Which they traded up to get Carolina. Though. They traded up to get him.
So yeah, they did trade up to Washington to get traded up to 11. Excuse me, traded up to Minnesota. Where Minnesota was.
Yep,
to go get that, which is interesting in this case. So maybe in this case, the computer's saying, okay, Minnesota wanted McCarthy. He's gone at 10. Let's just get out of there, right? And I guess I don't think that happens in real life. But in this case, you know, I think it's fair. But talking about Minnesota, they stick at 23. They take Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
I love that for Minnesota.
That's a win, right? That's a win.
Yeah. If you trade out of 12, you don't have to, you know, send a ton of stock to move up to top five. You stick at 23, along with getting, we don't know what the trade details were in this case to back from 11, but it was probably pretty big for Carolina to move up that far.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, you gain a wealth of picks, stick at 23, still get, in my opinion, a first round quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, I don't think this happens, but you couldn't draw that up any better if you're Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I agree, man. That's a win all day for that franchise. Because that was actually the next quarterback taken as well. So, you know, McCarthy went 10th to the Jets, as we said. Oh, that was a joke. And then they trade out of it. Like, what is like, oh, they wanted McCarthy that bad. He's not there. And they trade out of 11 and get Penix to 23. But, yeah, getting Penix to 23, like you said, without having to mortgage your future and move up to get somebody that you don't really – I don't know. Anyways, they were able to sit Pat at 23 and get Michael Penix Jr. I think that's a reasonable selection for Penix Jr. It's a good fit for him and just a win for the Vikings overall, as you mentioned.
If I'm Minnesota, I'd be happy. I know Penix is kind of polarizing, but me and you are both fans, so yeah, big fans of that one. I think that'd be a really good pick. Kind of the other guy I thought was interesting how far he fell was Cooper DeJean, 29 to Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah,
Steelers do not take him. Corey Bradley does not take him.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers do not take him. He gets by a bunch of teams. Goes to Detroit at 29. Do you think that – I guess what do you think his floor would be? How far do you think he could possibly fall?
26. 26 to Tampa. I don't think he gets past Green Bay, Tampa.
I was about to say, I don't think he gets past Green Bay, so I'm right there with you.
So honestly, there, you know, there was a – the Jason Light, the Buccaneers general manager, alluded to – you know, he said something about where would you possibly trade up if you're looking to trade up. He said around 20. He said 20. The Steelers are 20. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they asked Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan about it, and they both said it. And no lie, they said it. Go listen to it. They said, is there some talks? Have y'all been talking to the Buccaneers? They literally said 20. and you know, they both said, you know, 20 is generally the sweet spot where teams look to trade up and possibly get somebody. Because you're looking at good teams at 20 because they made the playoffs. Yeah. And if you got somebody that you have in mind. But they both clearly, like literally, Omar Khan said sweet spot and Mike Tomlin Poddle said the number 20 would kind of be just that sweet spot where teams look to move up. So, yeah, I don't think DeJean falls past 26 Tampa. And they may move up to get that guy if that's who they covet.
Yeah, well, in this case, you know, it works out for Detroit, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Shout out to Detroit, landing a great corner, so wherever you want to play him. You know, in this mock, I thought it was interesting. I actually have him labeled as a safety, but I think he can play corner. I think the fact he can, like, I think he is a corner. The fact he has versatility, I think, is, like, a big plus. But, I mean, I think people who think he can't play corner, I think, are crazy. I think he absolutely can play corner.
He can play corner, safety. He's going to be a good returner.
Cooper DeJean,
that's the guy. If you ask me who do I want number one, if I have one pick in this draft, specifically first round, give me Cooper DeJean. That's what I want. I just think we're going center. What about 28, though? What about 28 with Adonai Mitchell going to the Bills? I like that move for them, man. I like that a whole lot for that franchise if that was their selection.
I think it makes sense. I'm not as crazy about Adonai Mitchell, Boo. Adonai Mitchell, personally. I know you're a fan. I'm not as high on him as others, but I still think it's worth. Like, I still think he, you know, I think it's just a me thing with him not being as high on Adonai Mitchell. I do think he does go in the first. In this case, I think this is plausible. I think he kind of late 20s is where I would kind of project him to go. And Buffalo's clearly, you know, they needed receivers. A lot of people think they're going to trade up, right? So in this case, they stick at 28, still get, you know, a first round type of receiver. I mean, I think it makes sense. But yeah, I know you're a lot bigger fan of him than me. So I know you're probably a big fan of that pick. And Buffalo absolutely, whether you like him or not, Buffalo needs receiver help, right?
Yeah. That's they're going to take a receiver, do they? And I think they stand pat because they don't have many picks in this draft higher. Like, I think they would have to give up. Do they want to trade from next year or what? I mean, because they don't have many to begin with as far as high picks. So I think they're just going to sit back at 28 because people are saying maybe they should trade them and get their guy they really want. I think they're going to take the best receiver available at 28 and not have to work because they need more. They have a lot of darts at the dartboard. They're just later. And it's like you don't want to have to trade your second or anything like that. They have quite a few fourth rounders. But yeah, that first mock draft was really interesting, man. You know, when you look, is there anybody else you want to mention in that first round before we talk about what happened in the second go round?
No, I think that kind of covers most of the big ones. One of my favorite receivers in a draft, Thomas Jr. going to Dallas.
Damn, how you like that?
That would be the dream. That would be the dream for Buffalo if you're Buffalo. He's the only other one to me that's like a clear. Like, I think you kind of have the first three in a tier together, really Harrison maybe slightly above, and then you have Thomas in his own tier right behind him, and then there's, like, a gap to me.
Yeah,
I think Thomas would be the dream if you're Buffalo compared to, like, an Adonai Mitchell. But
and they,
in this case, Dallas lands him, right? And
yeah.
Shoot, I think Thomas Jr. is going to be a stud. I think he's not just a deep – I think he's going to be able to do a lot of stuff. So that's another pick I like a lot, too. I wouldn't hate it if we took him at 15.
I know.
How much I like Brian Thomas Jr.
So as we talk about 15 and your second go around in the second mock draft that we did, talk about who you took first overall in there and kind of highlight a quick recap on your picks in that second.
He's a solid tight end out of Georgia named Brock Bowers. Man, he fell to me in the second mock draft, and I've said on here, I've told you a million times, that's my like dream scenario.
Yeah.
Basically, is Bowers or Odunze somehow coming to Indy? I think Bowers is more likely.
Yeah.
Than Roma Dunze, but they're both like that's my dream. If either of them could happen, I want to build that offense around Richardson. I get the corner need, but man, I want to help our young quarterback. Yeah. And I think Bowers is going to be like, it's just hard for me to see. I get that every pick is a risk. There's no sure thing, but gosh, it's hard for me to see how he's not good. I just don't know how Bowers ends up not being a good player, right?
Yeah, Bowers so is that dude,
just,
man.
That's all it is for me. It's just. It's an easy pick. He's a top 10 player in my opinion. Yeah, he's a tight end, whatever. I don't care. I couldn't be happier with that. Your first pick though, pretty consistent, right?
Oh, yeah. I went Barton again, man. I mean, you know, honestly, I was prepared to go a different route. Y'all just heard me say who my number one guy, if I could take him in the first round, would be. That's Cooper DeJean. Well, that second go round, I planned to take him, but he went one pick before the Steelers in this go round. He went number 19 to the Rams, and I was like, well, the guy really wanted and planning to take it, went a pick before, and that's happened several times in my fandom as a team that I love, the Steelers and the Spurs. That type of thing has happened. I just pray it doesn't happen this year. It happened last year. I'm a guy, receiver from Purdue, Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones, receiver who started at Iowa, went to Purdue for his last year. He put up over 1,300 yards last year, 12 touchdowns, and 110 catches. And he was primarily a returner. He was primarily a returner before he transferred Purdue. So you talk about one pick before, man. I would, if that happened this year with DeJean going to the Rams at 19, I would be, because what hurts you is that you don't know if your team wanted him or not. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing if he's on the board and your team don't take him, but it's another thing when that guy goes a pick before your selection and you don't know.
It hurts.
You don't know. Like, man, is that who we were hoping for? That's who I was hoping for. Is that what we were doing? You know, so, but yeah, I went Graham
Barton.
Yeah,
we do that every year in fantasy too. Same thing. Yeah. It hurts.
Oh, it's, man. So yeah, I had two, my first two picks were very same. Graham Barton at 20, center from Duke, who played tackle as well. Peyton Wilson, linebacker, NC State at 51. My first two picks in both drafts were the exact same.
Hey, that's your guys, right?
Yeah,
kind of puts a stamp on, like, hey, these are my guys. And
yeah,
I mean, shoot, I can't blame you. We kind of had similar paths where, you know, my second round pick, I didn't take Peyton Wilson, obviously, but I took a linebacker as well, Adrian Cooper, who's kind of the only other guy I have in that tier of linebacker. And really, I think both would fit for the Colts. Both are, like, really, really good athletes. Mm-hmm. Both can play the will. I mean, you could basically swap our picks, and I think both of us would probably be pretty happy. Yeah. And so, shoot, I think it makes sense. I like you stuck with Luke McCaffrey. That was another consistent pick you did. Jordan Travis, day three. I like that pick too. Talon Grable, your last pick as tackle. I wouldn't be shocked if we take. He's a really good athlete too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And that's why I took him.
I like your selection, man.
Man, dude, I appreciate it. Like, that's exactly why I took him too. Like, I don't know much about Talon Grable, but I know he is very athletic in the RAS score, and I'm like, man, we need tackle depth. That's when you throw a dart at the dartboard, and maybe you hit on something big there. You know, in that draft you mentioned, I took Jordan Travis. That's where I went back and forth on the two. Like, man, I took Jordan Travis in one at 119. I took Braylon Allen at 119 in the other, and it's like, man, I'm cool either. You know what I'm saying? I really am. I lean more towards the one where I took Braylon Allen just because I got totally a tongue below it later. You know what I'm saying? And so when you're throwing darts at the dartboard, you don't know, but it's like, I'm expecting Russell Wilson to be the quarterback for years to come. I'm expecting Justin Fields to be in the Steelers organization for years to come also. So Jordan Travis, man, I would love to have him as well. But yeah, that's one, man. I there's certain guys I'm hunting towards the end of the draft, man. So what stood out to you in that second one, as you talked about Cooper, what were some of those late draft dartboard opportunities that you really kind of relished on? Was there one that really stood out, like, man, yeah, if we could get him late in the draft at this spot, I'd be thrilled?
And my second one, it probably still land, and this is kind of like you had your consistent, I'm a really, really big fan of Tyron Tracy Jr., the running back out of Purdue. I don't know if we take running back. We do have a lot of other holes, and obviously we have JT. I mean, it's not like it's a need or anything, but I'm just a really big fan of his game, and I think he would be an exceptional complement to, you know, that backfield. And shoot, that backfield's already dangerous with Richardson, and getting JT back together, I mean, shoot, give me a good pass blocker who can catch and speedy. I think it just, I like that fit a lot. I like Kyrie Jackson a lot. He's 6'4" corner, big, tall, long corner.
That screams Ballard.
Yeah, screams Ballard. I always compare the Tariq Woolen. He's not a Tariq Woolen. There isn't a Tariq Woolen in this draft of, you know, being that big, you know, and that much of an athlete, but he's kind of in that mold where he's a long, tall corner. And shoot, like you said, Ballard likes he likes the big corners. And so that would be one I picked. And Jaden Hicks, like I said, the other one, I would be very, very happy if he's basically a linebacker who plays safety. He's a hard hitter. He's kind of a roamer guy. And I think we could use that. Our safety position, really our best player is Julian Blackman, who we just re-signed on a 1-year deal. So we absolutely have a hole at safety. And so no, I like my second one too. Getting Bowers is the, you know, the cherry
that's
on top,
the cream of the crop right there. Good
yeah,
man,
so
man. Icing on the cake.
The rest of it kind of felt a little bit rough to me, but I really like getting Bowers. I can't hate.
Bowers, Bowers, Bowers. Man, dude, I'm like in that first round where, you know, you took Bowers, man, I took Barton again. And that second go round with the entirety of the first round, you know, what stood out to you on that one, man? I mean, you know, you had a chance where Bowers did fall to your lap this time. What stood out to you with other teams in that scenario?
Minnesota won the first round. I would probably be my first reaction. They stick at 11. Get J.J. McCarthy. Don't have to trade. It's kind of similar to the first one where they get to stick up and still get guys I like. But in this case, they get McCarthy, you know, clear first-round quarterback to me. And then they get, like I said, he's my fourth receiver in the draft. I think he's an elite receiver, elite prospect of a receiver. And that's Brian Thomas Jr. at 23. You immediately get your McCarthy, Thomas Jr. You have Justin Jefferson still there. I think that'd be a win for them. I think it'd be a win for Cincinnati. They get Quinyon Mitchell at 24. Just because, like I said, to me, he's the number one corner in this draft. So him falling to 24, you know, I told you, I thought you might take him just because he was there. I didn't expect him to be there.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a pick I liked a lot. I think Byron Murphy at 32 to the Chiefs would groan if that happened in real life, because I think he's a stud. And I don't want to put him next to Chris Jones and let them, you know. So that would be
that
would be a problem too.
But you can see that. You can really see the Chiefs going that direction. Like, you never know. Like, this is a team back to back Super Bowl winners, a luxury, you know, and picking 32, like, they always seem to do well in their draft. We could see receiver there. We could, you know, to kind of fill that big hole that they have never filled since Tyreek Hill left for the Dolphins. You can see them go corner, where they traded LeJarius Sneed to the Titans. They need help there, opposite of Trent McDuffie. But like you said, Byron Murphy, the second from Texas, is an interesting pick that would make sense for them also, because everything they do is predicated upon getting pressure on the defensive line, pressuring the quarterback, and making it easier for your secondary. You know, you talked about your corners and safeties. How do you make it easier for them? Well, put pressure on the opposing quarterback where he has less time to throw. So, that would be a big pick, man, if the Chiefs went there at 32.
Yeah, and whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. What would you say, you know, looking at, is there maybe a pick that you hate? Is it going to be the pick at 9?
Pick that I hate, Jared Verse going to the Bears. That's a surprise pick. I don't expect that to be the pick. And like you said, unless they just want to go defense, and then it's like, well, they want it, you know, Dallas Turner goes pick before, and then Jared Verse is there. I just don't see the Bears going Verse at 9. Now, if there's a pick that I dislike, you know, I feel like overall this draft was really consistent. You know what I'm saying? It was really consistent on where teams took, you know, their guys, Odunze at 10, McCarthy at 11, you know, Terrion Arnold, corner in Seattle. The Cowboys moved up to 18. And took Marius Mims at tackle. You know, you got Cooper DeJean, 19. I felt like everything that went there, Eagles went corner with Nate Wiggins at 22. You mentioned Thomas Jr., 23, to the Vikings. Quinyon Mitchell, 24, to the Bengals. Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner, to the Packers. Jackson Powers Johnson, center, to the Buccaneers. Like, all this makes sense. Like, Keon Coleman to the Bills. Like, if that's the receiver,
Florida State. Those are about the only ones I would personally, like, I wouldn't want Coleman or Mitchell in the first. Like, they're like early seconds to me. But again, that's just me. I'm not as high on them. But I think it makes sense though. Like you're saying, I think it's reasonable.
It makes sense. Like, it makes sense as far as, you know, it's not that far of a stretch. Like, if they just like Coleman that much more than Mitchell, who went the next pick to the Lions, which they need receiver help too, because Josh Reynolds is no longer there. The Ravens at 30 with Xavier Worthy, receiver from Texas, which they don't have Odell Beckham Jr. anymore. And it's like every year the Ravens need receiver help, it seems, you know. So like all this makes sense, man. It really does. You know, one that I would like to highlight is at 8. Dallas Turner to Atlanta seems to be the consensus, right? A lot of people are picking, right. I mean, Brandi Heath, man, you know, that's my girl. Just super stud as far as, like, fantasy football and, you know, Falcons fan, Seminoles fan. She wants Dallas Turner at 8, you know? And so I said, who else do you like at 8 that would be maybe a surprise if it's not Turner, because everybody's kind of, you know, they're not pinning it, they're not penciling Turner, they're permanent markering Dallas Turner, you know, like, but she said if it's not Turner and there was a surprise, she would want Jared first. Because, you know, that's, he's a pass rusher, elite pass rusher, and she's a Seminole, too. So if she could get her Seminole to be with her, that's where, you know, that's where you bridge that gap. You bring those two together, man. But Turner for her.
I mean, it's a clear need, too. I mean, badly need edge rush.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if it's not Turner, she'd be glad to have Jared Verse. She says she's happy with Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. And, you know, she wanted Cousins or Fields this year. And we said the same thing. You know, they had to get Cousins or Fields in this year's acquisitions for the offseason. And they did that. She mentioned, too, though, she likes Michael Penix Jr., too. So if he doesn't go first and if it's somewhere in that early second and the Falcons have to trade up to get him, Brandy would be pretty thrilled if she could come home with Dallas Turner and Michael Penix, you know, as her first two picks. But, man, you live in Georgia. What are the thoughts from there in Atlanta? I mean, what are you hearing? I mean, in Georgia, you know, what are the thoughts there as you're hearing where Falcons fans that you work with on a daily basis, who are they leaning towards?
Dallas Turner is pretty heavily discussed in our office. Part of it is probably like you said, it seems to be just sharpied in that's where he's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But also because he's a great player. I mean, he's a really good player. He's most people's top edge. Latu is a better pass rusher, a pure pass rusher, but he has the neck injuries. He's older. He's not as good at a run stuffer. Like Dallas Turner is just an all around really, really, really dang good edge. He's really young.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think it. They like that pick a lot over here, and I think it makes sense. It fills a hole. I mean, they've been trying to get that. They've needed that edge rusher for so dang long, and at getting their chance at, you know, they get whoever they want, whether it is a Verse, maybe they do love Verse, whoever it is, they get their top, you know, pick at that, presumably. I don't think an edge is going to go before them. So Dallas Turner, I think, is the most commonly kind of discuss personally that I've seen, like, with, you know, amongst my associates, but I can't blame him for it. I think Turner makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So Chris, as we talked about our mock drafts, we did two for our teams. We did two as a whole, and highlighted the first round in both. You know, when we look at some of these selections and we look at the picks and where they went to, I want to call this the sweet spot trifecta. Can you guess three players correctly where they will be selected? And when I say where, I'm just talking franchise only, not necessarily the pick itself. But do you give me your three players, why you think these three will land at a particular destination.
So my three players, the first one, Joe Alt, the Tennessee. I think that's one of the other ones you could just about sharpie in. I think – unless maybe the Chargers take him at 5. Yeah. I think he's going to go to Tennessee, and you can just about book it. The best tackle in the draft, clear need for them. They want to protect their young quarterback. They went and, you know, invested into the receiving core, going and getting Ridley. They still have Hopkins. But you got to protect them. Like, you got to protect the guy. Their line was terrible last year.
Yeah.
You go get the best tackle in the draft. I think it makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, as a Colts fan, I don't want to see that. But I think it makes sense. That's one for me. Marvin Harrison at 4, or really just to Arizona. Maybe Arizona trades back to like 6 or something. I don't know. But Marvin to Cardinals, I don't think, you know, in our mock, you know, neighbors go there. I think you're overthinking it. I don't think there's as much of an incentive for them to trade back far because they already have a ton of capital in this draft.
Yeah.
Just go get the best guy, man. Just get the best guy. Harrison's arguably the best player in this draft, period. To me, just go get him. And I think they do. I think Harrison's going to go to the Cardinals. Would love it to be in Indy, but it's not going to happen. He's going to go to Arizona. And my third one, actually, I had Dallas Turner, and I took him off because I think, yeah, that's a little bit too obvious. I could see Atlanta maybe throwing a curveball, maybe, but probably not. It's probably going to be Turner. But, yeah, to add a challenge, I went with Bo Nix to the Broncos. Bo Nix to the Broncos. I just don't think Peyton's going to sit on what they have. I think they end up with a quarterback, and I think Nix fits the mold of like a Sean Payton quarterback. Like generally the way their offenses look, Nix kind of fills that role really well. So to me, to me, that's the combination. I don't know if it's a 12. Like, Nix is probably not a top 12 guy. Do they take him just because they don't know if they can get him otherwise? Maybe.
Yeah.
So where, I'm not sure about, but that's my third, you know, my challenge pick, so to speak. Like you said, I'm going to go Nix to Denver. I think just makes sense. What about you, though? What's your three? Or do you have any thoughts on those three, or any disagreements there? What do you think?
Okay. I'm going to go with mine first, and then we can talk back about yours.
Okay.
For mine first, I did go Atlanta Falcons, Dallas Turner. Like, it's too much buzz, just like last year with Bijan Robinson. You know, that seemed to be the consensus. Like, man, everybody was booking Robinson Atlanta, and sure enough, that's where they went. I think that's where the Falcons are going. Dallas Turner, book it. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, baby. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. Cooper DeJean. I got them going Cooper DeJean, and I don't think they can stand pat at 26. I think they have to move up to do so.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Do you think they get him at 26? Okay.
Yeah, so because we talked about the Packers select before them at 25, and I could see the Packers taking him also. So when Jason Light mentioned, like, hey, you know, when you look the trade up, you're around 20, you know, and that's the Steelers at 20. Now, you remember what I said originally, too, that I love – ideally for the Steelers to trade back and still get one of their top linemen, you know? So I'm hoping I can see that as the trade, very likely trade scenario where the Steelers move back to 26, get an extra second or third, and then the Buccaneers move up from 26 to 20 to get Cooper DeJean ahead of the Packers, which they have to, and even maybe ahead of the Eagles. We don't know. Like, in one of the drafts, the Eagles took Nate Williams from Corn from Clemson, so they could like DeJean also. So I got Tampa Bay, Cooper DeJean. I got Atlanta Falcons, Dallas Turner. So the final part for my trifecta, Denver Broncos, they actually addressed both of those positions today with acquiring defensive back Levi Wallace, and they also traded for Zach Wilson from the they got him from the Jets. So, you know, I'm like, this is two needs, and it's like, okay, what are you? Did that make your decision easier? And it's like, it actually did. Like, it made my decision easier. I think Denver's going to go Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. When they acquired Wilson, I was like, okay, Peyton is comfortable going Wilson and Stidham to compete for that number one spot, and they'll just address their defensive back room. So Zach Wilson, the trade, man, this dude is traded after just being selected number two overall a few years ago. I mean, that's the draft, right? We never know. Trevor Lawrence is the only quarterback remaining from that first round to be with his original team. Trey Lance is gone. Zach Wilson's gone. Justin Fields is gone. Mac Jones is gone. So in this year's draft, who was your guy, you know, and do you have a spot or two to really that no one's really talking about, but you're like, okay, watch for these two teams. Watch for these three teams where a quarterback could go there, but nobody's really talking about it.
First question, I think Caleb Williams is the guy. I think there's a tier between him and the other quarterbacks. Not a crazy one. I think May and Daniels are kind of squarely right behind him, but Caleb Williams is that guy. I think he was the number one touted pick last year, went a full season, number one pick again this year. I mean, he's been that guy for a long time, I think for good reason. That's it for me. As far as teams to look out for, man, New York Giants at 6 and Atlanta Falcons at 8. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that they, you know, that I think something could happen there. I don't know if it does, but I mean, you got to think, if you're New York Giants, are you sold that, you know, Daniel Jones is the guy? I don't know. If you're Atlanta, okay, yeah, you have Kirk Cousins right now, but for the future, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? And how often do you expect to be picking, like in their case, top 8, top 6, to get a chance at like a really, like a blue chip prospect type of quarterback? Probably not often. Ideally, not often. You don't want to be picking that high.
Yeah.
Right? And so while you're there, I mean, if you think you can get one, I mean, right? I think it could happen. Like, and I think, so like thinking about like 6. So if you're Arizona, you probably don't want to go back very far because you have a lot of capital, right? You'd rather just stick and take the best player. If you're moving back to 6, you're probably not missing anything anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Right? That's true.
Like, you might miss one non-quarterback, which isn't, you know, the end of the world. I mean, I think it could happen. That's all I'm saying. I think it's something to keep an eye on. I don't know what happens. I don't know if it does. I think it would make Minnesota fans very upset if that happens, because they probably lose out in a scenario on a quarterback. But That's all I'm saying. Just keep an eye. I'm just putting it out there to keep an eye. I think Giants and Falcons aren't talked about. Like, they're not even in a conversation of teams that could take a quarterback, and I think they should be. Yeah. That's pretty much the gist of what I think.
Man, for me, if I had to choose one more likely to do so and select a quarterback in the top 10, it would be the Giants, man. You know, I've never been big on Daniel Jones, and I think that's why we're in a position now as far as talking about that, because he hasn't solidified that spot. Atlanta has kind of committed to Kirk Cousins, right? 4-year deal, huge contract. For the next several years, he's their guy. Now, they could take one later in the draft. You know, Brandy wants Michael Penix Jr. But if they really just want to address the QB room, they could do that later next year as well. But I think they're going to take Dallas Turner, as I talked about. But I would not be shocked at all if the Giants took J.J. McCarthy or one of those quarterbacks that falls to them, whoever it might be. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Giants went quarterback at 6. Is it likely? I think it is, because Daniel Jones is not that guy. We've said this for years. And in that division with Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, you know, you got to make sure you get that dude. You got to make sure you have somebody who can really compete at that level, at that position.
And real quick, just to put it out there in regards to Kirk Cousins and Atlanta, all the guaranteed money is wrapped up in the first 2 years, all of it.
Okay.
So if there is an out for Atlanta to avoid having, you know, to go into the negative with cap savings, it's after 2 years. And dang, that would sure line up with a rookie quarterback pretty good, huh?
And that's
obviously if Cousins is killing it, you might not want to do that. Yeah. You might just want to keep rolling with Cousins. But like, you could see how that scenario could happen.
Yeah,
I think it could happen. Whether it does, I don't know.
But that's where we do what? That's where they have the 43rd overall. They have 74 and 79. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you are, Cousins first couple years, or maybe he is all 4 years, you could get him at 40. You could get somebody at 43 that you like. You get somebody at 74, 79 that you're comfortable. Like, hey, he's not ready to start, but we like him a whole lot. He's a potential starter in this league. Or do they package those together? We talked about falling back into the late of the first, package two of those picks and move up. And, you know, that would be enough, right? Wouldn't you, as a 49ers fan, or at 31, if you move down from 31 to 43 and also pick up number 79, I'd take that. You know, move back 12 spots and pick up an extra third. Like, so, hey, watch out for those teams. Like you said, Chris, I like it. Those two teams could still take quarterbacks. Whether it happens in the top 10 or not remains to be seen. But, Chris, man, I appreciate you, dude. This is draft week. It's finally here.
Yes, sir.
And we will definitely be back post-draft to talk about some of the selections that were made.
I'm just pumped. NBA playoffs run, I don't care. I'm just ready for the draft. I'm excited for the draft. I'm excited. We're talking about all the things that could happen. That's the fun of it, right? Nobody knows. It's so unpredictable. Everyone's so hopeful. You know, what are they going to be the new toys everybody gets, right? It's a fun time of year, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited to get to talk about it with you, as always. I'm excited to talk about it some more, you know, during and post the draft. So, yeah, it's a good week, man.
It is indeed, my boy. Until next time. And as I always say, there's nothing better than being in the sweet spot.